Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
I want us to look today at a part of God's Word that's just filled, loaded with spiritual application for our lives. And there are a few more verses here than I would normally read before a message. And I thought about maybe trying to paraphrase some of this to get into this, but then I thought, no, we need to see this and we need to understand the context of what's being said here. And as we look at this, I might even probably make some comments here. It's hard to read this without thinking about some of these things as we get into this message today. And so we're looking at the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 26. And we'll begin reading with verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Didn't Jesus talk about sowing and reaping and how some of us might reap 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? And here Isaac, even in the midst of very trying, difficult times, he reaped a blessing from God because he had the favor of God upon his life. He reaped 100-fold and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. There's a whole lot of prospering going on here in this verse. And if you get the favor of God on your life, God would desire for you to prosper in all things. And so Isaac prospered. He had possessions of flocks. He had possessions of herds. He had a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. I guarantee you today that if you get the favor of God on your life and you begin to walk in the blessings of life, there's going to be someone somewhere who's going to envy you. They may even despise you because of God's favor and blessing on your life. Now look carefully what happened here. So the Philistines, they stopped up the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again. Notice this. Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. Isaac called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well. Now watch this. They did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. Now, this passage, this part of God's word that we just read, tells us quite a bit about the significance of water, and in particular, wells of water. Abraham dug wells of water, and he gave each one of those wells a name. But the Philistines came along, and they stopped up the wells with earth, by filling them with earth, and thus Isaac could not drink from the wells that his father Abraham had dug, which brings me to a key foundational statement for my message today, and this is it. Isaac had to dig his own wells. As we get into this thought today, I want to talk for a few minutes about water, because I sometimes think that we might take water for granted. We turn on the tap and it's there. We can go in the store and get fresh water. But water, I would remind you, is the one essential of life. On average, a person can live for about a month, perhaps a little more than a month, without food, but only 3 days without water. 70% of the earth's surface is water. 97% of that water is in the oceans, which means that it's salt water. Only 3% of the earth's water is fresh water, which brings truth to the old adage, water is a precious commodity. In fact, in biblical lands where water was scarce, water is priceless. And so it shouldn't surprise us here as we read this that wells of water were a source of strife and fighting. There was conflict over the first two wells, as we read here, that Isaac dug, and thus Isaac named them accordingly, Esek, which means argument, contention. And he named one Sitnah, which means hostility. It can even be translated hatred. But then we come to Rehoboth. I'm going to say a lot about Rehoboth because it's just loaded with spiritual application for us. They came to a well and they named it Rehoboth, which means open space, spaciousness, and blessing. Because it was there that the conflict ended. And they had water. They had fruitfulness. So you say, "Pastor, what does this..." Okay, you're talking about the Old Testament. This is way back in the book of Genesis. What does this Rehoboth... How does that relate to me? How does that apply to me as a modern day Christian? Rehoboth is important for us because God brings us to a place of peace where the conflict ends. It means faith to look beyond your present circumstances to God's abundant provision. It means that when we find ourselves at times in a place of scarcity and contention and conflict, that God gives us spaces of grace and peace for us to dwell in. You know, this thing about water that I'm talking about as we get into this message today. Throughout history, people have fought and died over water. The availability of water has given rise to great civilizations, and the lack of it has caused civilizations to fall. And this was especially true in biblical times. Wells of water represented independence, prosperity, blessing. Water was everything. So here's what I want you to see today. You know, we're talking about physical water, H2O. But let's talk about HSOG, the Holy Spirit of God. Because water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and salvation. Look at this. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. One day, Jesus, as he walked on the face of this earth, he became physically thirsty. And he came to Jacob's well in Samaria. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water from the well. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And she said, "How is it that you, being a Jewish man, should ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? The Jews and Samaritans don't have any dealings with one another." And Jesus said, "Woman, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Amen. And then Jesus said to her, and he says to all, look at this. Watch this carefully. This is what Jesus said to her. He's saying to us, "Everyone who drinks this water, H2O, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." You see, folks, just as a well of water was absolutely essential in sustaining physical life, the work of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential in sustaining spiritual life. Without H2O, you will die physically. Without HSOG, the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to die spiritually without God's Spirit. So you say, how does this relate today? How does this relate to my family? How does this relate to me as an individual? How does this relate to my nation? Isaac had to dig his own wells. Isaac had to discover the source of life for himself. Isaac could not live off of what God did for his father Abraham and what his father experienced. And so what I'm saying to you this morning in this message that God gave me this week and put on my heart, I'm saying that each person in each generation has to experience the work of the Holy Spirit. Yesterday's manna is not good enough. You can't live off of mom and dad's experience or grandma or grandpa's experience. You can't live off the experience of a previous generation. There has to be generational well digging I want to give you two scenarios here. I want to talk about family for a moment, and then a couple denominations. We had our men's prayer breakfast yesterday morning, and Jason did a wonderful job talking about family and the importance of family and how we've seen just a breakdown in the family. But I give you this scenario. You take grandma and grandpa, just say 100 years ago. Grandma and grandpa. Not every grandma and grandpa, but a whole lot of grandma and grandpas. They had moral character. Their lives were centered around church, the Bible, family, faith. And then here come their children. And when their children come along, they just may not be as committed. Maybe there's a little slippage there. And then when their children's children come along, there may be no commitment at all. You see where we are today? In the downslide from commitment to compromise. We're only one generation away from collapse. Have you ever heard that? But let me talk about the same thing with denominations, okay? I'm going to talk about two. I don't want to just pick on the Methodists. I'm going to talk about Methodists and Baptists, okay? Just to be fair here. Let me talk about Methodism. Because I know a whole lot about Methodism. I studied the whole history of the Methodist Church. And I can tell you that the Methodist movement began with a fire. John Wesley said, "My heart was strangely warmed." You talk about the old-time Methodists, they were called shouting Methodists. God was moving, they were drinking from the water. There was a great revival that came forth. What do we see today? The Methodist Church is just a hollow shell of its former self. Recently, the United Methodist lost 1 million members in one day. How do you lose 1 million members in one day? I'll tell you how. You try to replace the Bible, the truth of God's Word, with a rainbow flag. That's how you do it. 1 million members. But let me not, I talk about the Methodists, I know. And let me mention Baptists, because I know a lot, I'll tell you the group I know a lot about, the Southern Baptists. I spent half my life in Texas. There are more Southern Baptists in Texas than fire ants. And I always looked up to the Southern Baptists, because, you know, they were so good at just presenting, you know, a gospel message, and this is just from my perspective. I'm just telling you how I feel. If there was ever one denomination that I thought would never slip or would always hold the line of the conviction of the truth of God's Word, I felt it was the Southern Baptist. But and look, I'm an outsider just looking in, but from what I've been hearing, there's a lot of struggle. All these denominations. I just picked two. You know, we could go through a whole list. The church is being shaken. And God's shaking these things. And so we see all, what's the problem? Look at this. Prophet Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 13. Here it is, folks. "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring," look at this, "the spring of living water, and have dug," don't miss this here, "they dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. There's the problem. You can't reinterpret the Bible, no matter how much people try to do it. You can't reinterpret the Bible. You can't redefine the church. You can't construct your own truth. That's what people are trying to do. You know, I said, this is my truth. Let's talk about God's truth. So I want to just bear with me here in this message today. I want to talk about three things. All three are found in this passage that we're looking at. I want to talk about the opening of new wells, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time on that one. The other two I'm going to cover very quickly. But the opening of new wells, the opposing of new wells, and the outcome of new wells. So let's look at this, okay? I'm talking about generational well digging. This is the message that the Lord gave to me. And so let's talk about the opening of new wells. And when I talk about the opening of new wells, I'm not implying, I don't want to give the impression that we just ignore or forget the past, that we ignore or forget our heritage and the spiritual wells that our forefathers dug. Right here in this passage, Isaac did not ignore or forget the wells of his father. He tried to redig some of those wells. He remembers the wells that his father dug and the names that his father had given them. And we read in verse 18 that Isaac called the names of his wells by the names Abraham had given them. So look, history's not a bad thing. In fact, you know what the problem is today? Our young people, they don't know history. They don't know how this church, this nation was founded. And that's, history's not a bad thing. It's good for us to remember. It's good for us to remember what God did for our forefathers. It's good to remember what God did on the day of Pentecost. It's good to remember the great revivals and the great outpourings of the past. In the mid-1700s, a well was dug, and people began to drink from the well. It was called the Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards, he preached a series of sermons in the New England states. And I have a quote here. I want you to see this quote. This comes from the narrative of surprising conversions written by Jonathan Edwards. Look it up sometime. Study it. I'm just giving you part of it here. But this is what Jonathan Edwards wrote. He said, "A great and earnest concern about the things of eternity became universal in all parts of the town and among all persons of all degrees and ages. The noise among the dry bones waxed louder and louder." Oh, you know, you hear people say, "Oh, Christian faith, that's private. That's a private. We need to have dignity, and it's a private thing. Faith is something that you carry to the church house, and you keep it within the walls of the church." Are you kidding me? Pentecost was active. Pentecost was noisy. And I want to tell you something today. When God begins to stir the waters and the waters of the Holy Spirit start to move, things change, things happen. People's lives are changed. Your family will be changed. The nation will be changed when God begins to move. And so the Great Awakening, over a six-month period. Listen, 300 people within 6 months were saved in a town of 1,100. That's almost half. And that was just the beginning, because up and down the Atlantic seaboard, people began to drink from the well. They began to drink the water of the Holy Spirit. 50,000 souls were saved. 150 new churches were started. And so what I'm saying today to you is recalling, reflecting upon revivals and understanding what God has done in history. Oh, it's so important. It can stir our hearts. It can stir things up. We can learn from that. But folks, listen. Listen to me very carefully. The wells of Abraham were stopped up after he was gone. Isaac could not drink from those same wells. Isaac had to dig for himself. He had to drink for himself. And I believe the sad truth today is that we have a generation of young people who have never drunk from the kind of well that I've drunk from. And the kind of spiritual well that previous generations drank from. And I believe today we're dealing with a well-less generation, a generation of dry bones. However, let me get positive here, because I'm really encouraged. I think the water is starting to spring up among this younger generation. In my alma mater, Asbury College. You remember reading about that or hearing about that? The students had a great revival. I heard about the same thing happening at Auburn University, the University of Texas, and I've even heard some great things happening at WVU. And so I believe God is starting to stir up this younger generation. But I'll tell you right now, we need to reopen the wells of Pentecost. Amen. Is anybody with me, or am I just, you know, what's the answer here? We need a sovereign move of God in this generation. Verse 19. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley. Sometimes it's down there in the valley. You're digging. And they found a well of running water there. You know, speaking of these colleges and water and so forth, I was reminded of a story of a small private college, and their source of water was from a beautiful, clear stream of water. It was pure water, and that's what fed the college. You know, they got their water from the stream. But one day, they woke up to just a trickle of water coming out. So they knew there wasn't anything wrong with the stream, and so they knew that there had to be a problem with the pipe. And you know what happened? This huge frog got lodged in the pipe to keep the water from coming. And I just wonder how many frogs are in the pipes today. The wells of our fathers have been stopped up with tradition, formalism, skepticism, secularism, indifference, and just out and out blatant sin. And these wells need to be unclogged. They need to be reopened. Okay, I said I was going to say more about the opening of new wells. I want to give you my second point here. Because not only do you have the opening of new wells, you have the opposing of new wells. Because I want to tell you something right now, hear me. The devil and the devil's people, the enemies of God, will oppose new wells. The devil is all about stopping up the wells of God, and he uses people. You remember, we're reading here, the Philistines came along with their shovels of dirt, and they were filling up the wells and stopping up the wells. And I want to tell you, hear me today, the moment you get serious, the moment you try to dig a well for God, there are going to be people. There are going to be people that are going to try to throw dirt into your well. And as you're standing there, they may try to throw dirt on you. And here's what you do when people start hurling dirt at you because you're trying to follow God and being obedient to God, here's what you do. You just shake it off, and the more dirt you shake off, pretty soon there's going to be a mound of dirt. You're going to just be standing. You're going to go higher and higher as you stand on that dirt. And I want to make a statement here, and then I'm going to move on and just make one statement. The opponents of Donald Trump have been trying to bury him alive for years, and they keep shoveling dirt, and he keeps going higher. But that's, here's the bottom line here. Here's what's important to me. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If God is for me, who can be against me? I want to be on God's side. I want to be on the side of truth. And my heart's desire is, folks, please hear me today. I want to see a Rehoboth in America. I want to see this conflict and all this political divide and all this vitriol and all this stuff. I want to see it come to an end. I want to see God open up the wells of healing and grace and peace. Is that what you want today? Well, let me talk about the outcome of new wells, and then we're going to have communion here. Look at this. What was the outcome? And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. Oh, praise God. So he called his name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Folks, what do you want for America? Don't you want peace and prosperity? That's what our country, God blessed our nation. He brought great peace and prosperity to our nation, and it's crumbling around us. We want to be fruitful in the land. And then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. And there, Isaac's servants dug a well. What was the outcome? What was the outcome of all of this? The outcome was worship. An altar of worship. The outcome was freedom. The outcome was life-giving water that came. I'm going to close this message today. I want to give you some really, really bad news. And then I want to give you some really, really good news. The really bad news today is that America's wells have been stopped up with dirt. There's little hope without God, folks. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. The American family is in terrible trouble. Our nation is in terrible trouble. The world is in awful, terrible trouble. That's the bad news. Do you want some good news? Anybody want some good news? Here's the good news. God has plenty of water. God has plenty Holy Spirit for you. God has plenty Holy Spirit for your family, for this nation, for the world. And here's the invitation. I was thinking about, I didn't have this in here, it just came to my mind, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal the land. Don't we want healing in the land? Here's the invitation before we close, and then we're gonna drink from the waters. We're gonna share in the cup, in the bread in the cup today, as we remember what Jesus did to open up these wells for us. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Is anyone thirsty? I want to ask you today, are you thirsty? Do you have any spiritual thirst in your life? Come to the waters. Come and drink.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.